This morning, I would like to share a few words on time. So we all know time is very important. Time is something that we prioritize. Time is something that once lost, we cannot get it back. It's irreversible. So what does the word talk about specifically on time, and how do we go about cleansing the time? From a science point of view, time is defined as a continued sequence of events and occasions that is first irreversible from past, present, and into the future. So this is called the arrow of time. So time travels in only one direction. When we talk about space, we can move across several directions. We can go to several places, but time, it's always in one direction. So this arrow of time cannot be broken down. And science does not have an answer on how we manage, utilize, or sanctify time. There are a lot of conundrums, space, time, travel, and suspension of time. So much of fallacies that science throws about. And in general, the whole of science is all about how we reconcile time. So you have a very macro view, what we talk about general theory, which was put forth by Einstein. And at the very minute level, at the micro level, we have quantum physics. So science has been struggling with this idea of reconciling general relativity with quantum physics into a theory of everything. But again, there are no answers forthcoming. So science does not provide any answer to how we utilize or make sense of time. When we look at time, I think from the point of the word, one good way of looking at time is look at it from the perspective of holiness. Holiness is a very unique concept. While we hear about love talked about in very great detail, love, how does it look like? We have an entire chapter dedicated to love. But with regards to holiness, there is a lot of mention about what unholiness or defilement looks like. But the positive side of holiness, we only see pictures and images, and it's up to us to take out what holiness looks like. There is a law in biblical hermeneutics, the law of first mention. Whenever a very important concept or a word is mentioned the first time in the Bible, that is very significant and important. So rather than look at holiness as an abstract concept, we can also look at holiness as a sequence. As per the law of first mention, where is holiness first mentioned in the word? If you look at that, the very first mention of the word holiness or Kodesh is in Genesis chapter 2, verse 3. It says, God blessed the seventh day and made it holy. This is the very first time the word holy is mentioned in the Bible. So that's why the entire Jewish construct is based on this concept of sanctifying time. This is the first law that God gave them, and he reinforced it later on. He says the first month is a head month. It shall be the first month of the year. This is the first command as per the Torah. So for the Jews, time is something that is at most holy. So the entire Jewish calendar, that's holy to them. So the Jews are compulsorily, they have to come 3 times a year to Jerusalem to meet with the Lord. Their entire calendar of feasts and holy days, it's all based on this concept that time is holy. God had sanctified time. God had given them the command to sanctify time and follow the calendar. So the first thing that God made holy was time. So it's very important for us to focus on time first in our pursuit of holiness. Many times we look at personal holiness as something that's of a very high priority. But from God's point of view, it is time which has to be sanctified first. If you just look at the sequence as a whole, the second thing that God sanctifies is when the burning bush, God says, take off your sandals for the place where you're standing is holy ground. This is the second mention of the word holy. So the second thing that God in his sequence mentions holy is land. And the third thing, the word, third time the word holy is mentioned is when God sanctifies the all the things that are pertaining to the tabernacle of God. And the fourth time, it is when Aaron and the priests are sanctified. So if you look at this particular sequence, the first thing we have to look at sanctifying is time, followed by land, possessions, and then comes personal holiness. Take, for example, a house. The house, it has a lot of problems internally. It has termite infestation. It has poor foundation. All the carpeting and flooring, it's all very bad. But if the owner of the house paints the house every year and says the house is in fit, it's a very perfect shape, we will not agree with it. So that's what we do many times in our personal lives. We focus or give more priority to personal holiness, whereas the sanctification of time, of land, of our possessions, it's all relegated to the second place. So today, I would just like to leave a few thoughts on sanctification of time. Unless we sanctify time, unless we walk in holy time, we will not be able to be very effective in our personal holiness as well. Think of it maybe as a bigger container. If the external box or the external container is not holy, no point in us being clean and holy and maintaining our personal holiness if we live in a defiled time, defiled land, or all our possessions around us are defiled. So we have to pay attention to this sequence and ensure that we are maintaining sanctification, not just in our person, but also in time. So how is time defiled? There are many, many ways how time can be defiled. So the common ways how time is defiled is through sin, rebellion, iniquity. Sin, as we know, it's missing the mark. God has a specific set of standards. And when we miss these standards, we are sinning. And when the sin is repetitive, we do it again and again and again, it becomes a habit. So that is rebellion. And when this rebellion extends to our family, to our community, it becomes iniquity. So when there is sin happening in our life on a repeated basis, it results in leaving a deposit on time as well. That particular time linked to that sin becomes defiled as well. For example, maybe there is a person who has a habit of drinking over the weekend. So when this becomes a habit, automatically it has an imprint on time. And maybe as it progresses, weekends might be a time of temptation. Even if he had stopped drinking, he might be tempted severely to drink over the weekend. So sin has an impact on time. Sin, rebellion, iniquity has impact on time, and it can either defile time or make the time holy. Another aspect is covenants. In those days, during the time of Abraham and before, there were several tribes in various deserts. So they used to have these covenants. A tribe may be very good at agriculture, but very bad at warfare. Another tribe may be good at warfare, but poor at agriculture. So they will come into a covenant. They'll say, we will give you protection. You give us food. So that kind of an agreement where it had a set of do's and don'ts and punishments if they are being not executed. So that type of covenant is something that can defile time. We might enter into unholy covenants with people. We might enter into unholy covenants with the demonic or the supernatural. So those kind of covenants end up defiling time as well. Maybe there is an ancestor, someone who entered into a covenant with some kind of a deity for protection. Watch over my family or protect my business. So that particular, maybe that they do a time of worship. So that particular time can get defiled. And across generations, people will find at that particular time in the year, even though they might be Christians, they have this kind of a defilement or a time which is not working with them, a time which is so difficult for them. So Covenants also can result in defilement of time, trauma bonds. We go through sometimes a traumatic time in our life. It might be a personal loss or a tragedy or a financial problem. So these kind of trauma, when it is over an extended period of time, sometimes when we don't move up quickly away from the trauma, when we don't overcome and move on, we result in that trauma having an impact on that time as well. Maybe that particular time of the year, we feel traumatized, we feel disturbed. For example, there might be, this is an actual case where there was a lady who, because of the problems in her life, was considering abortion, and she went to the hospital to do that abortion, but then God ministered to her, spoke to her, she came back. But because she did not deal with the trauma, her son, who was born as a result of that pregnancy, used to have suicidal tendencies at that particular time when she went to the hospital. Every year, he used to have these suicidal tendencies. He was wondering, where did this come from? How did I'm not suicidal. Why do I keep getting this feeling at this specific time every year? So trauma can also result, if not dealt well, it can also result in bonds that transcend time and generations as well. Curses, there are quite a good number of curses, generational curses, other curses that results in defiling time. I'll just give you an example. There's something called a Midianite curse. We know from the story of Gideon that Midianites, every time there was harvest, they used to come and raid the Israelites. They did not raid the Israelites at time of seed time or when they were growing the crops. But whenever the crops were ready for harvest, they came and they devoured all the crops and caused immense destruction. So this is a curse where there is a seasonal devouring. Every particular time of the year, maybe every March or every December, every season, every year, there is a devouring. Every 10 years, every 20 years, there is a seasonal element to this defilement that happens. Sometimes what happens, like just like how the Midianites, there might be, for example, a credit card debt. It is 50,000 rupees. Step by step, we bring it to zero. And suddenly we find that everything falls apart. And again, we go back to 50,000. So there is an element where we keep coming up to zero, or keep growing. At one point, it all falls away and we have to start again. And this devouring can be in terms of relationships as well. So why is this Midianite curse coming into our life where there is a seasonal devouring? Because it's mainly when people try to be independent of God, people give more importance to the resources they accrue than to its purpose, than to the source where God is the source. So they use these resources sometimes to manipulate or control people. It might be for good reasons. It might be for just and proper reasons. But if they do that as per their own agenda, they result in this opening the doors for this Midianite curse to come into their lives, where there is a seasonal devouring happening to their finances, relationships, and everything else. Excuse me. So how do we come out of this defilements of time, and how do we sanctify time per se? So sin, rebellion, iniquity, we just have to confess. When we confess and repent of our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of all our sins and help us and restore us to where we were. Rebellion, iniquity, though it has a lasting impact, again, God is a God of restoration. He's more than able to redeem and cleanse us even of rebellion and iniquity and help us with a pathway to come out of any depths, any type of rebellion or iniquity, and set us right before God. Covenants and trauma bonds. There is a right way to break off all the covenants and the trauma bonds. Knowingly, unknowingly, we might have entered. Maybe it's a generational issue. So God knows about all these agreements and all these legal arrangements with the demonic is misusing or using it to his own benefits. So God can give us the strategies to break all unholy covenants and all these trauma bonds that hold us as slaves to time. Midianite curse. So the answer to breaking the Midianite curse on our life is to come in the opposite spirit. So when we accrue resources, when we look at resources as a hedge against the dependence of God, that opens the door. So we have to be opposite. We have to look at being dependent on God for everything, through our resources, through our relationships, through whatever we have in our hands. We look at it as being dependent on God. And we don't use resources to control people. Controlling people is witchcraft. So we look at ways and means where we follow God's agenda and have stewardship over our resources and look at serving people as per God's agenda. There are a few other ways where we can sanctify time. Offering the first fruits of time. So in this past 20 minutes, whatever you heard, please do not forget this important aspect of sanctifying time. Offering the first fruits of time. We offer first fruits of our blessings, maybe the first salary, the first income, or whatever the first, maybe we have a tree in our home, whatever the fruits we get, we place it before church. But it's very important we offer the first fruits of time to God. The first thing in the day, what we do, that it has to be given to God. Ideally, if you get up early in the morning, just like how Jesus did, early in the morning and offer the first fruits of time to God, that is an immense blessing, which sometimes we miss. What do we do the first thing in the morning? What do we do the first thing we come into once we come into our workplace? First fruits of time has to be given to God in order for us to walk in sanctified time. If we do that, definitely we'll find that time becomes our friend. What we did in 3 days of time, we'll be able to do it in 1 day. What took maybe 2 hours, we'll be able to complete it in 1 hour. So offering the first fruits of time is very important and highly essential. There is no way we can miss this. Again, Kairos and Kronos. Kronos is the hour after hour, week after week, day after day, this progression of time, that's Kronos. From here we get Chronicles, Chronometer, Chronology. But Kairos is that appointed time, specific time which God has ordained for certain things to happen. So we need to differentiate, discern between Kronos and Kairos. We can't be blindly walking through time, going through time in a very aimless way. We need to synchronize with God, know the set times and seasons, just like how King Solomon says in Ecclesiastes, God has a time and season for each and everything, small or big. There is a set time. We need to synchronize our calendars with God, know what he has in store at what time, and work in partnership with God and not against God's timing. So this is very essential for us to synchronize with God's timing, and we would be able to see a lot of synergy because we know and identify and discern God's Kairos times. And the final thing is windows of reconciliation. There are specific windows of reconciliation that God has established. Jewish people recognize and follow this and make it a part of their Jewish calendar, whereas we don't do that. What are these windows of reconciliation? The change of seasons, winter solstice, summer solstice, the change into autumn to change of seasons, autumn, spring. So each of these change of seasons have immense potential for meeting with God. So the time between 11th of March to 30th of March, the time between 11th of June to 30th of June, 11th of September to 30th of September, 11th of December to 30th of December, these are all time windows that God has given us to reconcile with him. So if we spend this time with God in these windows of reconciliation, there is added grace wherein we'll be able to connect better in a specific way with God, which will be a time of blessing. So these are all the specific ways where we can sanctify time. So my final thought would be, we have to be discerning of the times that we live in. We can't walk aimlessly just like that, doing what we seem fit to do in our own eyes. We have to redeem the time. We have to ensure that we give the first fruits of time to God. We have to ensure that we know about God's set timings and walk in complete alignment with God's set times and timings and seasons. So I leave this thought with you. I really wish that this time, as we move forward, we walk in time which is crucial, critical, dangerous, and we need to, as a body, come together and ensure that we invest our time in the right things and get maximum returns for our investment of time. Let us make a decision to be effective stewards, discerning and redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Let us pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time, Lord Jesus, that you have given us. Thank you, Father, for, Lord, you have created time. You are outside of time, and you are a God who is the God of all time, timings, and seasons. Thank you, Father, that you are empowering us today. You are giving us supernatural grace to walk in sanctified time. Lord, whatever has happened in the past, you are, Lord Jesus, reversing it, and you are opening our eyes to see the treasures that are there in time. You are helping us, Master God, walk as your sons, not as blind people, but sons, Master God, with authority, with discernment, knowing, Lord Jesus, the set times, knowing, Lord Master God, that you are a God who is perfectly on time. And you are, Lord Jesus, opening our eyes to see the reality where we walk in partnership with you each and every day, Lord, knowing the times, knowing, Lord Jesus, what you want us to do at what time. Thank you, Father, for helping us, Jesus, give the first fruits of our time to you. Thank you for helping us get early in the morning, Master, just like how you did early in the morning, Lord Master. Thank you for waking us up. Thank you for helping us, Jesus. Give us the desire to offer our first fruits willingly, first fruits of our time to you. When we walk into our office, when we walk into our business, we give our first fruits to you. We give, Lord Jesus, our entire time to you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for helping us, Jesus, just like how you walked in mastery over time. You are giving us the ability to walk in mastery over time. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you have given us unfair advantage over other people. When, Master God, they don't have any answers. They look at balancing a lot of things. But you have given this unfair advantage to us, Lord, where we are able to walk in mastery of time as we follow you, Master God, as your sons, as your stewards. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lord, each and every one of our brothers and sisters here, we bless them, Lord. Cover them with your blood from head to toe. Thank you for blessing this entire week, Lord Master. Thank you, Jesus. Time works for us this entire week as we walk in sanctified time. Thank you, Father. We bless you. We glorify you. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.